All right. And I think this will help some of my friends on the defense side because the adjusters have a drastically different view. And a lot of times, for whatever reason, the defense lawyers may not have done that many dram shop cases. So sometimes I'll have to help them get up to speed so they can kind of push back on a adjuster. For example, one of the last things I'm going to talk about is the safe harbor provision. People think it's this absolute immunity, and you know, the adjusters will be pushing on the defense. Oh, we win, we've got this safe harbor, so which is just not true. But I'll talk about that in a little bit. So the first thing that if you're a plaintiff, and if it's 70% of the people out here, someone comes in to your office, and you know that maybe they've been at a bar or a restaurant and they drank some, and usually these cases involve bad injuries. I rarely get someone calling where it's a kind of hurt a little bit. It's usually horrifically injured or death a lot of times. And so they want to say, hey, what do we have to prove? I've heard these cases are really hard. What do I have to prove? Well, what's interesting is a dram shop case is a statutory creature, okay? It's a statutory creature, which you may say, well, I know that. But if you sit and ponder with that for a little while, that matters, right? Because we are so ingrained as lawyers to be talking about what's reasonable, right? Should a bar have done this? Should a bar have done that? Should a restaurant do this? Should a restaurant do that? And those can be helpful for a different reason, but you don't get to go in a dram shop case and go create your own standard. You will run yourself right out of the case legally if you do that. So you need to understand that if your claim is for the overservice of alcohol, you have a very direct and statutory pathway that you're going to walk through, okay? In my paper, I talk about there can be other ancillary claims that aren't covered by the Dram Shop Act, so you need to think about that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time of it here, but if you're thinking this place overserved them, you have a statutory claim that is a very direct claim, and you need to look at the statute and really parse through those words in your mind, okay, because they make a big difference. So you'll go into 2.02 of the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code, and the key words are obviously intoxicated, okay, apparent to the provider, and a danger to yourself or others, okay? Obviously intoxicated, apparent to the provider, clear danger to self or others, okay? Now, if you are someone who has not done a lot of dram shop cases, or some lawyers I know that do a lot of dram shop cases, what you're thinking right now is, for me to prevail, I have to show that some guy is stumbling drunk in a bar and they served him a drink. That is what most people that call me think. And I would suggest to you that in a lot of cases that could be, there could be nothing further than the truth. And when you go down to do your case that way, to build your case that way, it's a fool's errand. Number one, it is not the way to do it as a plaintiff, in my humble opinion. And you, as a defense lawyer, would love it if someone would do that. Okay, so why do I say that? First of all, the word apparent to the provider, when you first look at it, okay, does that mean that I have to prove that you, the bartender, says, well, I knew it, yeah. Like, you've got to prove this subjective awareness. No, you do not. The case law is very clear that it's apparent generally. So it does not mean that you have to subjectively approve that they knew it, okay? That's very important. Subjective proof is good if they said, oh, yeah, I knew he was drunk, but you do not have to do that. Okay. Otherwise, the case law talks about they could turn a blind eye, right? And they could just say they didn't see it, and so they win. So that's really important. The word, though, that I think in Texas that is very interesting and helpful if you're going to do one of these cases is the word obvious intoxication. Okay. Most people equate obvious intoxication with visible intoxication, right? That is the standard in Missouri. I've done these cases in Missouri. You have to prove that they're visibly intoxicated. There's a difference between obvious and visible. What's the difference? The number one difference is to show obvious, you can do it in different ways other than just seeing the visible cues that you might think about. So what is the number one way to do that? If you discover that the drunk driver in your case was at one bar, okay, if he or she was in one bar and they leave and there's a short window and they wreck, even if that person doesn't show one sign that anybody sees, you can still have a phenomenal case. Why? Well, the TABC talks about two methods to figure out if someone's obviously intoxicated. One is what is in everybody's mind. Did they show these visible signs of, you know, slurring speech, knocking over a drink? They can be more subtle changes of they come in very quiet and they change and become louder, those types of things. Stumble, all the things that you would be thinking on the list. But the other way, and I think perhaps the fairer way, is did they overserve them based on a drink counting method? Anybody that's ever been a bartender here may or may not have paid attention to it, but if you have a TABC class, you are going to be shown how to count drinks. Now, this becomes an issue with the jury and talking to them, but the drink counting method will enable you to figure out if that person never shows any signs, if you serve them this much alcohol over this much time, you know that they are a danger to themselves or others. Period. You don't have to wonder anymore. You don't have to wonder, did they knock your drink over? Did they? You know that they're a danger to themselves or others. So, what is that? Well, you can look at the chart, but NHTSA has one, so does TABC. But for a 200-pound male, and it's a little difference between men and female, but a male, if he's 200 pounds, 200-pound male, and he served four drinks in an hour, he's going to be at a 0.08.